Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another quick little episode of the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. We thought we were gonna accidentally skip this fortnight because I've been super busy and I did get a bit sick as well. But I thought I'd quickly jump in and have a quick little chat about something. So today we're gonna talk about training sessions. So organizing a training session for your dog, as in for yourself. So planning a training session for your dog. This is something that has been coming up a bit, and I think we've got teams at all different levels of their training, basically. So we've got teams training with us that haven't done their course yet. So they've got young dogs. We've got people that are doing their course currently. We've got people that have done their course and they're still training their dogs. We've got people that have done their course, trained their dogs, assessed their dogs, graduated, and coming back for reassessments. But all of you are training. You're all on a training journey. We have talked about that before. But one of the things that might not be common knowledge is that when we are training an animal, we need to have a plan. Okay? So, and sometimes people, the bit of feedback that we can sometimes get is that people would like a bit more structure. So, we're going to go through like a quick structure or plan. I've got a client in 20 minutes. So, we've got to get this done, guys. No rambling. Okay. Have a clear plan. So think about what you want to and need to work on with your dog. Plan it out. So if you can do that in your head, good. If you need to do that, write it out, good. I think you should keep a training journal. If you're seriously trying to train a dog, especially for a young dog, all the way through to therapy dog, you should have a training journal. At the minimum, you should have things, I think you should have things printed out and up and on your fridge and whatever. You have your markers, which are the words that you use to signal to your dog what you mean at that time. Those marker words should be written out, and everyone in the house is using the same marker words. You're using the same marker words all the time with your dog. Make sure that you're being consistent. Have a plan, okay? When we are training our dogs, we're not asking a huge amount from them in terms of flashiness. Okay, so we are asking our dogs for control positions, so sit, drop, mat, things like that. We're not asking for a huge amount of flashiness. So we're not asking for, when I say sit, your bum hits the ground in 0.2 of a second and you hold a perfect sit and for, like it's in the perfect position and blah, blah, blah. We're not looking for flashy obedience. We're looking for control positions. So what I mean by that is that the dog has stability in the position. I'm not that worried about how pretty the position looks. I'm more worried about the stability in the position, okay? Because that's what you're going to use in your clinical work. Now, remember, get the basics right first, okay? So I am seeing people that are struggling to get their dogs into the sit, but then once the dog's in the sit, they're moving on to the distance, distraction, and duration. I think that's not working that well. So I think let's go back to teaching the dog the word sit. And the way to do that is to, if you're still using food, then you would lure them into the sit. If they don't sit, then you're going to use your negative reinforcement and guide them into the sit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, everyone that is listening to this would have access to our online training video library. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, this is not going to have a huge amount of context for you. So just be aware of that. Use your negative reinforcement, put the dog into the sit. As soon as the dog sits, free. Okay, that's how we're going to really teach the dog what the word sit means. If you're not using food, you've passed food or you're not using it, then you're going to say sit. But if your dog doesn't know what the word sit means, you're going to say sit and then just guide them into the sit. Okay. So you'll say sit, guide into the sit, and then free straight away. Don't bother with your duration, your distance, or your distraction until you've got the word sit. All right. Don't bother with anything else until you've got the word free. So free is your marker. That's your terminal marker, terminal reward marker. So our non-terminal reward marker is good girl, good dog, good girl. Like that. your terminal reward marker is free. Simple as that. Your terminal punishment marker is no. Your non-terminal punishment marker is good girl, good girl, good dog, okay? So it's just the tone of voice that's changing between the two of your non-terminals. Terminal meaning the activity is finished. Non-terminal meaning the activity is not finished. We're still doing the activity, but you're either heading in the right direction or you're heading in the wrong direction. I think you all know that. Okay, so we want to get that free. You need to charge that marker. Okay, so we need to teach the dog what free means. I love to do things the easiest way possible. So I will put the dog in a sit and then say free and throw the food on the ground, which is teaching the dog, hey, free is good because food happens and it happens out of position. And the food that brings the dog out of position. So I can say free, throw the food on the ground. The dog's like, great, when free happens, yay, it's a good thing. And they learn they can break their position because they're finished being in position. Okay. You can do that with a toy. So we did that with our most recent dog as well. Penny did it with a toy. She loves a toy. She loves to play. If you haven't yet listened to our podcasts with Tim from Diverse Dogs on Play, do that. So learn how to play with your dog. Before you start training your dog, learn how to play with them. It is the most important thing. So learn how to play. Then we're going to start using play in our rewards for our dog. We're going to use it as our dog's motivator. Okay. So when you say free, throw the toy. They're free to go and get it. Okay. So sit, good dog, free, throw the toy. So we're charging our markers, right? So we need to make sure that the dog understands what the word free means. Now, you're going to charge your no marker throughout the activity. Okay. So we don't just charge the no marker by saying no and yelling at the dog or whatever. We don't do that. We wait until the dog makes a mistake and then we say no and then we follow through with a correction. So what's going to happen is your dog's going to be in the sit. You're going to say sit. The dog sits. Then the dog breaks a sit and you say no, sit. And you'll put them back into the sit. Okay. Same thing. All the other, put the dog on the mat. They come off the mat, you'll say no, and then go and get them using their collar or lead pressure, put them back on the mat and say on the mat, and they'll go back on the mat. Repeat that process. They will learn on the mat and they will learn to stay on the mat until you say free. If the dog is breaking position quite a lot, that typically means that you have, this is too hard. Okay, so if the activity is too difficult, the dog will be breaking position a lot. That's not what we're looking for. Okay, so make it easier for them. Just simplify it. Less distraction, less duration, less distance. Okay, cut all that down and make it easier. We want them getting it right most of the time. Okay, so in one activity that I'm asking the dog to do, I really only want to have to correct them one or two times. By correct them, I mean put them back in their position one or two times. And then if I'm having to do it more than that, it means it's probably a too hard situation. And I need to choose my battles and I need to set them up in a different sit scenario so that they can have some success. We are not going to be doing a heap of monkey drills. Okay. So monkey drills is like drop, drop. We don't need to be doing a heap of that stuff. Okay. So your training sessions can be quite short. It's a good idea to mix up what your dog is learning, though. So sit free, drop free, sit free, drop free. Okay. Work a bit of that, do some recalls, practice some of your loose leash social walking, mix it up a little bit in your training sessions so that the dogs don't get, over it and sour to what we're doing. But keep them short, keep them really short. 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes is enough time. So move on from those sort of monkey drills as fast as you can. You'll do monkey drills when it's a brand new word to the dog. Okay. So or you're loading your markers or whatever, you'll do monkey drills. Monkey drills is like just repeating the same thing over and over. What we want to do is make use of our lifestyle. So pretty much everything that we're teaching you guys is stuff that you can and will be using in your lifestyle all the time. Okay. So as soon as you can, start to use these skills in your everyday life because then that gives you everyday practice and you don't have to set aside training session time. And it just means that the dogs will be more naturally rewarded as well. So, a good example is while you're cooking dinner, put the dog on the mat where you can see them and easily get to them. If they get off the mat, tell them no and put them back on the mat. That's a really good way to get a good long mat stay happening, because the dogs will just learn, like, oh, well, there's no point getting off the mat. I'll just stay on the mat. Your boundary training, once you've got that started, you'll use that all the time. Use it on your doorways all the time. Use it on the car all the time. Your impulse control, get that happening. Okay. I do that impulse control with young dogs, like little, like my puppies learn that from puppy, that sort of that responding to that tone. Get that happening. You'll use it all the time in your everyday life. Just make some time for some sits and drops. Just put your dog on a drop while you're brushing your teeth, you know? You're gonna brush your teeth for 2 minutes, put your dog on a drop. Do that. Just find ways that you can do stuff like that. You are gonna have to do things like separate your dogs. If you've got multiple dogs at home, trust me, I know all about how annoying it is to be flipping trying to train all your dogs. It's a nightmare. So you just gotta do it. Okay. You just gotta separate them and make some time and put some time into the dog that you're training at the moment. Once they're trained, you're all G to go. Like you just, and they're all just on, they're trained on the same system. So you just maintain it after that. But yes, I know it's annoying and I know it's time consuming. Trust me, I know. I've got two dogs that we're training at the moment and they're being trained differently. And yeah, I get it. Okay, so don't overuse your no. Okay, so don't. Your dog's going to learn what no means, and then you're going to feel very powerful about that because it is super handy. However, if we find that you're saying to the dog all the time, no, like, you know, you're constantly telling the dog no, that's a management problem. Okay. So we want to make sure that you're setting the dog up management wise in a way that the dog's not able to make mistakes all the time. When I say management wise, we're thinking of things like having dogs in crates, put them outside, put them on their lead, on lead inside. All those things to prevent them from getting themselves into situations where they have to be told no all the time. Okay. If you tell the dog no all the time, you're going to ruin your no marker and you're going to ruin your relationship as well because you're now just the fun police. Okay. Don't be tempted to use that no marker all the time. Now, this is something that I would be saying be careful with family members. If I had someone using my no marker all the time, I'd be very annoyed about that. Maybe give them a different marker. It's delicious. We've got them at the office. Bickford's iced coffee syrup. I think it's Bickford's, the one that do the cordial that's in the glass bottle. Oh my God. I'm pretty sure it's Bickford's. Get the Bickford's iced coffee syrup. It's so sweet. There must be so much sugar in it. It's so sweet. It is sensational. Anyway, that's neat. We just found that. All right. Blah, blah, blah. Tone of voice markers are loaded through. So your tone of voice markers are getting loaded through your obedience activities as well. Okay. So you sit and you drop your mat, all that sort of stuff on the mat. Good girl. As you start to create a bit of distance, good girl, good girl, good girl. She looks like she's going to get off. Good girl. She gets off. No. That's how you load your tone of voice markers throughout your obedience activities. It is very important that you are consistent with your handling. Okay. Film your sessions because I can pretty much guarantee that you're not consistent at least some point throughout your session. Because it's pretty hard to be consistent, especially if you're learning our system. That means you don't know it, which means that you're learning it, which means that you're not going to be perfect at it straight away, probably, unless you're an enigma. So film your sessions, watch yourself, watch the sessions back and watch yourself. Try not to just watch the dog, watch yourself in the sessions. Things I want you to look at, where are your hands? What's happening with the lead? Put your dog on lead for your training sessions. Put your dog on lead. If you want to take them off the lead and practice something off lead, that's fine. But please put your dogs on lead for your training sessions. I'm seeing lots of dogs being trained off lead and lots of things that don't need to be rehearsed and becoming a problem are being rehearsed and becoming a problem. So please put your lead on your dog. And then if you're like, this has gone fully sick, take it off and practice some off lead stuff. What was I saying? So watch yourself, watch your hands. What is your lead doing? Is your lead, you know, is there tension on your lead? Is it appropriate at that time? Are you relying on your lead? Your lead should be loose and you use it if you need it, and then you don't use it if you don't need it. Okay, so don't get into that habit of hanging on to the lead all the time. What's your body language doing? Okay, so especially when you're reinforcing your dog, so when you release them and you're trying to reward them, what's your body language doing? Are you over the top of the dog? Are, you know, getting in their face and whatever? What's the dog's body language doing? Do they enjoy that? Are they soft? Are they coming in for more of that reward? Or are they, thank goodness, that's over? So watch yourself, watch the dog. Oh, when you are getting your foundations right, so that's your, okay, my dog knows that sit means sit. My dog knows that drop means drop. As you start adding to the activity, you'll add distance, so you'll move further away from the dog. Again, return to the dog before you free them, please. So come and stand beside the dog again before you say free. Distraction. You're going to start, squeaking a toy, throwing a ball, doing stuff around the dog, making a coffee, open the fridge. You're going to start adding distraction. And duration. You're going to start asking them holding the position for longer. Add one of those things at a time, either distance or distraction or duration. Please don't try and add all three at once. Add one at a time and then start to combine them and mix them up a little bit. Okay, so you might put the dog on a sit, walk away, come back, squeak a toy, free. All right. When you are training, remember that dogs don't generalize well. Okay. So you need to be aware that the way that your dog can work in your living room is going to be different to how they can work in your garage, to your front yard, your backyard, and out in public. Okay. They don't generalize well. So remember to reduce your criteria. If you're going to do a training session and you've been working on something at home, when you go out into a novel environment or a busier environment, that those is straight away you've got heaps of distraction as soon as you're not in the living room, you're out in public. Make your criteria for the dog lower. All right. So don't ask if they can do a 60-second sit in the living room, don't ask for a 60-second sit at Bunnings. Ask for a 10-second sit and then free them so that they can start to learn that sit also means sit at Bunnings. All right. Need to lower your expectations there. I'm just reading through these notes. Make sure, so if you're using your hand signals, make sure you're using your word first, okay? So I'm going to ask my dog to drop. So I'm going to say drop, then use my hand signal, then use my tactile signal, which is our collar pressure, okay? Our guiding down. So collar pressure, leash pressure into that drop. If you're having trouble with the drop and the dog's getting jammed up, get some video of that and then stop attempting it and come and see me. Okay. So Monday night classes, whatever, whenever your tuitions, whatever schedule you're on for your training, don't keep doing it, but get some video and show it to me. Okay. So that I can help you fix that. Usually that's not that hard to fix. Okay. I think I've covered everything that I wrote down. So it's not super in order, but it's all important to know. With your training, slow is smooth. Smooth as fast. Okay. Don't rush it in the foundations. Get your foundations right. The rest will come a lot easier, a lot faster if we get those foundations right. Now, in saying that, don't be afraid to challenge the dog. Don't be afraid of that. It's okay. Out of 10 repetitions, we want them to get it right probably 8 or 9 times, 8 times. If they're getting it right 10 out of 10 times, they're not learning anything, they're just practicing something. Okay, so if they're getting it right all the time, then it is time to increase the challenge. Does that make sense? In planning your session, think about what am I working on? Go and have a look. If you've already done the course and you're working towards your assessment videos, don't get really fixated on that form, that criteria sheet, but do understand what's in it. Okay, but I don't want you sort of just training to the test. I want you to actually develop these skills in your dog. I do want you to go back and sort of have a look and double check that you're working within the system. Okay, so go back and look at the worksheets from your course, or if you haven't done the course yet, just look at the training videos. Go back and have a look at that training library and have a look at the training videos and see, like, is your video looking similar to our videos? Because sometimes I think people can get a little bit off track and then they just keep practicing that. And then by the time we see it, it's like, we need to change quite a few things. So just be aware of that as well. I really recommend doing the Monday night classes. Have some video, have something that, that we can have a look at. I'm available for one-on-one tuitions as well. So if you've been videoing stuff, I'm happy to jump on a Zoom with you and have a look at your videos. If you want to see me explain something in a different way, I've got four dogs. So I can make you videos. If you want to do a little training plan, I can make you some videos of anything that you might be struggling with and film you some examples. Have fun with your dogs. Okay, that's the main thing that I want you to do is have fun with your dogs and enjoy it. I know it's hard. I know it's stressful. I know it's frustrating. I know you have good days where you're like, oh my gosh, this is going so great. And I know you have days where you feel discouraged and you feel like, oh my God, this isn't happening for us. Try to just always bring it back to the fact that you love your dog and you enjoy spending time with them and everything's going to be fine because you're going to be fine and the dog's going to be fine. So, try to remember that. If you've got any questions, reach out. Let us know. All right. Happy training. Have fun.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with us, but you have a few more questions before you get started, please get in touch with us by emailing info@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website, www.therapydog.com.au, for more information and our FAQs.